You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur.
I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Punt Podcast. Looking ahead to another busy week of football across Europe, we've got Champions League and Europa League games to get stuck into. Plenty of games up for the preview treatment. We've got six in total to discuss. Sam Norris here, joined on this edition of the podcast by John Gibby to take a look at the Champions League last 16 second legs and some Europa League action featuring the British sides a little bit later on. John, how are you?
Oh, very good, thanks, Sam. Good to be here. Looking forward to another busy week of European action as well.
Yeah, definitely so. Let's get stuck into it because we've got plenty of games up for discussion, starting with the Champions League fixtures on Tuesday. Borussia Dortmund take on Spurs, which is where we'll start. 19-20 about Borussia Dortmund. Spurs in the betting at 13-5. The draw is 14-5. Spurs were also impressive in the first leg, winning at Wembley by 3-0. Since then, things have kind of unravelled a little bit in the Premier League. Any fleeting hopes of the Premier League title they had have all been extinguished now, but that was certainly just what the doctor ordered in terms of the first leg. The problem is, if you're looking for a bet in this one, they don't need to win the game, which always makes it hard to fancy them, despite the fact that this is a big price on paper, but they don't need to win or even draw.
The question you have to ask yourself here is look beyond the 90 minutes and say, is this tie over? And on paper, you'd say probably yes. And then you start to crunch some of the numbers. And you just look at some of the stats and it gets a little bit interesting. Dortmund have won half of their European ties in general, but they lost the first leg away from home. They've scored 3 goals at home 3 times this season. They've done it twice in the Champions League. And in addition, Spurs obviously without winning their last 3 games in the Premier League since they played the home leg at this tie. Obviously, they've had a slightly difficult run of things since then. But the last time Dortmund beat Spurs, they did it at home and they did it in the Europa League. This was back in 2016.
Yeah.
And they did it 3-0.
Okay.
Which is what they would need to take the game to extra time. So I don't think you can sort of just come into it. And especially given, I think the fleeting hope of maybe winning a Premier League title, when everything was stacked against Spurs at the beginning of the season, I remember, when they hadn't made any of the signings and there were lots of, I mean, sure, your Canes and Allies were riding the crest of a wave having done well in the World Cup, but I don't think the mood around the club was especially positive at the beginning of the season. Then they got their hopes up, and now, well, as you alluded to, they're not going to win the Premier League. Even progressing through this, it's going to be a very tall order for them to win the Champions League, let's be honest. So I'm not sure they're going to be in a particularly brilliant place mentally. Obviously, Harry Kane is back, he's in goal-scoring form. He scored Tottenham's only 2 goals since the first leg of this, so that's a big plus. They still have their injury issues, though. Tottenham, they haven't got a full strength side available for this. As you say, it's difficult to put up Spurs, to back Spurs when they don't need to win the game. And I think Dortmund are going to win this.
Yes.
No, I don't think they're going to qualify. I don't think it's absolutely out of the question, but I think on balance, Dortmund will win this, but it won't be enough for them to go through. I think Harry Kane will find the net, as he has done repeatedly since his return. Mm. I'll say repeatedly, he's done it twice. But Dortmund to win and both teams to score is 23-10. And I think that's a decent price. And obviously with that in mind, I do think that Spurs are going to win. I think Harry Kane could do it. But also, with Kane having come back, it's sort of inflated Son Heung-min's price to score, to be an 8-time goal scorer in any of the games he plays.
Yes.
And that's 11-8. And that's okay as well. I can see this being relatively high scoring, as I alluded to. A lot of Dortmund's home ties are. And Spurs have got plenty of players capable of making things interesting in the attack as well. So I think Dortmund are going to win. I don't think they're going to qualify. Dortmund to win and both teams to score 23% is the main bet.
Okay, Dortmund to win the match with both teams getting on the score sheet, the main fancy for John, but some interesting goal scorer prices, given that Harry Kane is odds against, not too often we get an opportunity to back him at that price, and Heung-min Son in the price at 11-8, or is the price of 11-8 rather for that one. On to Tuesday's other game at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid are taking on Ajax. 63-100 for Real Madrid, 16-5 for the draw. Ajax are priced up at 4-1 for this one. It's been a season largely to forget for Real Madrid, well behind Barcelona in the race for supremacy in La Liga. They've been beaten twice by Barcelona in two El Clasicos in the space of a week last week. And they've looked kind of laboured in the Champions League. Obviously, they're coming into this tournament looking to make even more history. It's a tournament they've got a real love affair with. But they were laboured again when getting past Ajax in the first leg in the Netherlands. They came through by 2-1. You'd like to fancy them a little bit more again at the Bernabeu. But they don't appeal at this price as much as they would have done in years gone by, given the season they've had.
I've been very disappointed by the Spanish teams in general. Real Madrid and Barcelona don't look overly inspiring either compared to what they were like a few years ago.
Because they used to be the real standard bearers from La Liga in the Champions League.
Absolutely. And I think the form of La Liga has dropped off a little bit in general, as in domestically, and also when they're representing their country abroad. However, things are tricky for Ajax here because they haven't won in Madrid since 1995.
Right.
They've got the deficit. Their recent form in domestic competitions has been good. They've scored 13 goals in the last three matches, so that sort of speaks for itself. But with all due respect, they are facing up to a slightly different kettle of fish here. Real Madrid, as you've alluded to, they've had to play those El Clasicos back to back, defeat at Barcelona at home on each occasion, which isn't exactly massively encouraging coming into this. The home form in general has just started to dip up a little bit recently. Three defeats in a row right now. Prior to that, they were unbeaten in four, including three clean sheets. So they just seem to be in the descendancy a little bit in that regard. But I can see them starting off quickly. Now, I looked into a couple of the numbers here in terms of how Real Madrid would like to start their games, because sometimes in these second legs, a nice angle to look is the team with the advantage to score quickly, put the game to bed, that's it, end of story, yep. And then they can sort of sit back a little bit and just keep things responsible at their own end. So I looked at how good are Real Madrid at starting off their games quickly. Well, the stats back it up. In each of their last three home games where they've scored at least once, they have scored in the first half. And even more interesting, I think, if only the first half counted, they'd only be 4 points off Barcelona in the league in second,
okay,
rather than 12 points off in third. It's not a massive gulf of difference, but it shows you that they are more effective in the first half. With that in mind, maybe a double result could be the way to go here. Now, the double result for Real Madrid is 13-10, which isn't massive, but it's one of those, isn't it? I don't want to take them in some sort of bold handicap bet, because I don't think it's going to come off. They haven't got the recent home form to back that up, but I don't think Ajax are going to win either. So I think this is probably going to be the way to go. I can see them maybe netting in the first 20 minutes, and maybe it will be 1-0. Who knows? I don't know what the correct score markets for sort of 1-0 or 2-0 might be, but that could be worth a look at potentially as well. But they are 13-10 to be leading at half-time and to win the match. So that could be interesting.
10-1 for it to finish 1-0 to Real Madrid. 9-1 for it to finish 2-0.
I mean, what you could do is back both of those.
Yeah.
Given the price that they are, they're big enough. So I think that's probably the in a match which I don't think is the most inspiring or interesting from a betting perspective in the fixtures we're looking at today. That's probably you probably want to go for a slightly safer bet.
Yes, and you're going to be rewarded if you think that it will be low scoring to a point, under 2.5 goals. It is 7-4. Obviously, Madrid well short and well fancied to get a few goals in this one. But I like Real Madrid double result. I think that's a decent bet. Another enhanced odds we have for this game, slightly different. You need a little bit more to happen. But Real Madrid to win both halves is now 7-2 instead of 3-1. That would cancel out them leading 1-0 at half time and at full time. Of course, they need to win both 45 minute periods. But along a similar line, because as I'm with you, I wouldn't really want to pile into them on a sort of handicap bet here. So
the good thing about the double result as well is if I'm wrong and they come out and win 6-0, As long as one of those is in the first half.
Yeah, sure.
Then you cover.
Yes, indeed. And that's odds against for Real Madrid, which looks a decent way. And on to Wednesday night's action then in the Champions League. And we start with Paris Saint-Germain, who welcome Manchester United. 1-2 for PSG, 7-2 for the draw, 11-2 for Manchester United. I have to say, I was on the punt for the first leg of this match, and me and Alex Dunn thought that was a real opportunity for Manchester United. No Neymar, obviously, as it was then for PSG. I think Edison Cavani's participation was in doubt ahead of that game as well. But they were comprehensively outplayed, Manchester United, and PSG, good value for that 2-0 victory.
Yeah, and for Man United, for Man United, like, they were in absolutely brilliant form, and, like, you know, bringing in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has completely changed everything, which it's changed a lot of things.
Sure.
But I think that's just been muted down a little bit, pretty much since the first leg of this game, really, and then in subsequent weeks in terms of what's happened as well. It doesn't help that the new boss, or relatively new boss, still finds himself with a bit of a selection headache either. Obviously, Pogba suspended, and that's in addition to the smorgasbord of injuries that the squad's got itself with at the moment due to recent well-documented events. So it's going to be tricky for them with the two-goal deficit away from home. With that, you know, it's issue after issue after issue, rather than one little nagging doubt in terms of how they might be able to turn this away. I think PSG sometimes get a bit of an unfair press in European competitions as well, because everyone go, oh, Liga, and it's not as good as the Liga or the Premier League, therefore PSG are going to lose. It's sort of a line of argument.
And there's been a real narrative as well from commentators and pundits that suggest when it comes to a Champions League game, the PSG players aren't tuned up for it because they've been playing inferior opposition in Ligue 1, which, yeah, I agree. I'm not sure I entirely buy into. I get the thinking behind it, but, you know, I'm not sure Manchester United beating Southampton at the weekend is necessarily a way better preparation than PSG's last league fixture.
And PSG have only lost one game at home this season, which is another issue, because not only have they got to lose it here, they've got to lose it by at least 2-0 to take it to extra time. So these are all concerns for United. I think United's biggest concern, though, is Kylian Mbappe, who has 7 goals in his last 6 games.
Yes.
Now, ever since he burst onto the scene a few years ago and was hailed as the second coming, you wouldn't say he's been disappointing on the whole, but he probably has just lacked the consistency that people wanted to see him and build. But I guess it's a similar thing with Marcus Rashford to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Both young players who just haven't come out and completely blown everyone away week after week after week after week after week after week. But he has been blowing people away in recent weeks with those 7 goals in 6 games. It speaks for itself. When Man United have got a depleted squad because of injuries and suspensions, that is going to be very, very tough for them to deal with. Now, I wanted to look at ways to be with Mbappe here. For him to score 2 or more, it's 19-10. It's not a massive amount of value. Back and first at 15-8 is what I'd rather do.
I like that.
I can see them opening with a bang here. Man United, I think, have got bigger fish to fry in a competition where they can be pretty certain that they're not going to win now. I mean, even if they were to get through this, you then add to the next round where they could be up against any of the teams still in the competition and have to go through the mill once again. I just don't think it's going to be very... I don't think it's the sort of thing that the players are going to go out onto the pitch. A squad as well, whose temperament at times this season has looked a little bit questionable, are going to be going out all guns blazing for. I'll go for PSG minus a goal at 6-5 for, again, a relatively safe bet, but look, on the basis of what they achieved in the first leg, when for a number of reasons they were arguably in a weaker position to what they are now, I don't think you can have too many arguments against that.
Okay, I think that's fair enough. On to the most intriguing Champions League tie in terms of how the tie is poised, which is Porto who take on Roma. Again, this is a Wednesday night kickoff at 8 o'clock. Porto are even money to win in 90 minutes. The draw 13-5, Roma 27-10. The to qualify betting here, Porto is 6-4, Roma are the favourites at 1-2. They have the 2-1 aggregate lead coming into this one, Roma. But as I mentioned at the top of the piece, John, this is the one of all the Champions League ties that's the most interesting in terms of where the tie is after the first leg.
Absolutely. And by extension, that makes it a more interesting betting prospect as
Absolutely,
well,
yeah.
Which is what we like. obviously Porto with the one goal deficit. They have a good record in terms of the home form and the competition as well. They've won 13 of the last 20 matches, which when you consider a club of their stature, I'm not trying to patronise them at all, but
yeah, sure.
If you said we were talking about Barcelona, for example, in the competition a little bit earlier on, or perhaps the sort of standing that Man City might like to see themselves established within European competition in the next few years, Porto aren't at that sort of
yes
at that sort of level. So that's a good record. Surprisingly, for a Champions League knockout match, both these teams lost their last league game.
Mm.
But they were both in decent form prior to that domestically. I think we should see another closely fought event. I think Porto's problem in the first leg was they were dominant in possession, but they couldn't turn that into chances. But more importantly, goals. They could turn it into goal, but they couldn't turn it into goals.
Yes.
And typically, this isn't something they struggle with as much at home. So that's a plus. Across all competitions, they haven't failed to score at home this season. Once. The last time that it happened in any situation was, weirdly, a 0-0 draw with Newcastle in a pre-season friendly.
Right, okay, there you go.
So, Roma's issue is that they've sometimes looked a little bit defensively further away from home. 15 goals conceded away across 5 matches, so you can see it being relatively high scoring. This is less safe than the other bets I've gone for. And if anything, I'd be tempted to go a little bit more. This isn't completely left field madness here. Probably to win and 3 or more goals in the match is 7-4.
Okay.
It's obviously in 90 minutes. I'd almost be tempted to go Porto to win 4 or more goals in the match, just because of all the games there are,
yes,
I can see there being goals in this one. Both teams have got something to fight for.
Yep.
You look at the stats on paper, in this situation, we usually see high-scoring affairs. There's usually one as well in a game week, isn't there? I've probably cursed it now, which is high-flying, high-scoring, yes, and fun to watch. So I think this could be it.
Yes, well, hopefully so. That's Porto-Roma then, which is obviously by far the most intriguing-looking match on paper going into the second leg. That's the Champions League wrapped up for this week. Going to take a look at the two remaining English sides in the Europa League as well. And obviously, we're through to the next round of the Europa League as well. We'll start with Arsenal, who are the early kickoff. They get underway at 5-6 on Thursday night. They take on Rennes. As I mentioned on the podcast last time, I'm still not used to 5-6 kickoff times, which the Europa League have opted for. 14-5 for Rennes, 12-5 about the draw, even money for Arsenal. Another match that, or certainly a tie that looks winnable on paper for Arsenal. But they were humbled by Bartek Borisov in the first leg of the previous round.
Not letting them forget that.
Indeed, losing by a goal to nil. They then got the job done at the Emirates, winning 3-0 to progress to this fixture. So you're kind of worried about Arsenal just a little bit. They should beat Rennes over two legs, I'd expect them to. But they should have beaten Barthez, and they should have beaten them in both games.
Yeah, weirdly, the Barthez thing seems to have spurred Arsenal on a little bit, because since that, they've been in fairly good nick. And I think that's the thing. Under Unai Emery, I was talking to Alex Dunn about this on an edition of The Punt 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about the Emery era so far versus the Wenger era and what's it been like. And I think the problem with the Wenger era, or the last couple of years of it, was it was very lacklustre all the time. Whereas under Emery, it's been inconsistent. But I don't mean that as a negative thing.
Sometimes it's been good.
Yes.
Sometimes it's been bad.
How they started the season when, admittedly, they did have a difficult first couple of games. And I was a bit concerned, I have to be honest. And then they found their beat and they went on this brilliant unbeaten run. I actually battened to win the Premier League at that stage. It was a bad. I think they were 50-1 to from 33-1 or something. But anyway.
Yeah, because they were unbeaten for ages,
weren't
they?
Yeah, exactly. And then they dipped a little bit. And now they've picked up again. So yeah, the draw in the North London Derby, I think, will have helped them as well, because that really was the final nail in Spurs' title-chasing hopes.
Yep.
So that certainly would have spurred the fan, no pun intended, spurred the fans on.
Yes. And they kind of deserved, they were the moral victors of that game as well. Debate about the Spurs penalty, and then Arsenal missed a penalty themselves for Tongan encroaching in the box. They would have felt like they'd done enough to win that game.
Exactly. And they're up against the Rennes side here, have been a little bit uninspiring of late on the home front. They're mid-table in Ligue 1, and the only thing with that is it means that this is sort of all they've got left. Now, I don't think they're going to win the Europa League, but they think, right, if we can do the giant kind of thing, if you want to call it that, it's probably not quite that rank, but do that and put out Arsenal, then we can see where we go. They're 66-1. They're one of the outsiders for it. Arsenal, for the for the title, the 5-1, which obviously, if I was going to back anyone outright to win the Europa League at the moment, it probably would be Arsenal at 5-1 at the prices.
Yes. Emery's got previous as well, hasn't he? He must have been in charge for one of Sevilla's. They won it 2-3 times in a row. So.
Yeah, and again, it's not what the fans will be wanting in the long term.
No,
but it's a good start in the first season.
Yeah, sure.
Back to the match itself. Even money for Arsenal to win an Anfield, it might just be the easiest way to play this, especially when you consider they're 6-1 on to win the tie.
Yep.
And so, even though they'll be heavy favourites in the reverse fixture at the Emirates, failing to win this will make that task a little bit harder, especially if Rennie were to build up an advantage of any kind.
Yep.
Consider that. Consider that the six is on, and I think the even money starts to look what I would call accurable.
Yes.
I.e. you could put it in your acca. I wouldn't want to back it outright. The slight concern is they're trying to do something that no team has done in 2019, and that is beat Rennes at home. But they failed to win in their last six matches at home in 2018. That included four losses in that period.
Okay.
So it's very much something that can be done. And we're talking mostly about inferior teams to Arsenal in on the whole. So it can be done. And I think it will be done. I think Arsenal are going to win this. And I'll go for that.
Fair enough. I just put myself out of my misery. I've just checked for how many of Sevilla's Europa Leagues Unai Emery was in charge for. All three.
There you go.
I thought it was definitely two. So if anyone knows how to win this competition, it's Unai Emery. On to Chelsea's game then. They're at home to take on Dynamo Kiev. This is an 8 o'clock kickoff. This one, 32-100 for Chelsea. 4-1 about the draw. Dynamo Kiev are priced up at 9-1. Chelsea, as we expect, favourites for this one. But we kind of already have an idea about how Kiev are going to set about this game, because we've seen enough of them to know that they'll be targeting a win at home and they'll be trying to escape this. You get the sense that they would be okay escaping Stamford Bridge with a 1-0 defeat or something.
And that's the thing, isn't it?
Mm.
And Chelsea are a team who I don't think enough generally is made of Chelsea's home form, because they've been beaten by three teams this season at home.
Right.
Man City was one of them. One was Man United when they were in mid Solskjaer Beaver, and the other one was a surprise defeat to Leicester, which was just one of those things. You look at Chelsea on the weekend when they played against Fulham, the mighty Fulham, and it was a bit of a lacklustre performance,
yeah,
in all honesty. And I'm talking about someone who's very pessimistic about the prospects of Fulham this season, as you would be. But Chelsea...
Yeah. A point for Fulham wouldn't have been a real smash and grab job.
No, exactly.
Which, you know, Kepa was called into action plenty of times, Sessegnon narrowly offside as well.
And it was an exciting first half in which both teams had chances. I'm not trying to get this into a post-match analysis of that game, but both teams had a lot of chances in the first half. Then the second half was, on the whole, a bit more dull. But the point being, you know, Fulham have been poor this year. There's no two ways about
yes.
it. And Chelsea, even though Fulham had the new manager and what have you, Chelsea probably should have been winning that game sort of 3-0
yep.
or what have you. That's not a brilliant sign, but like I said, they're at home here. They're very, very solid at home. Dynamo Kiev are second in the Ukrainian Premier League to Shakhtar Donetsk, so they're going okay. They've won 4 on the trot. They're unlikely to prove pushovers. This is going to be tougher than their previous match in this competition against Olympiakos, and they by no means dominated that.
Yep.
They were given plenty to think about. So I think they're going to struggle in this tie. Chelsea having the Champions League qualification to worry about. I'd need the goal scorer bets until we've seen the team news.
Yeah.
For sure, with that in mind. And again, it's not the most exciting bet of this podcast, which has been a little bit of a recurring theme. Go for the goals in the Porto match. Chelsea to win 2-0 in 19-20.
Okay. Yeah. I could certainly see that. 19-20 for Chelsea to win without scoring then in the Europa League this week. That about wraps it up for the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast. I was going to ask you for your favourite bet, Jan. I think I can guess what it's going to be, though. Is it goals in Porto, Roman?
It is.
Good.
It is.
I thought it might be. The Punt will return, of course, a little bit later on in the week for all the weekend Premier League action. But until then, enjoy the Champions League and Europa League betting with us here at William Hill. Don't forget, all these matches are hashtag Your Odds Games as well. Plus, there'll be loads of enhancements in the build-up to the action midweek. John, thank you very much for that.
Thanks,
and
sir.
Enjoy the action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.